Hello, everybody. This is Jules. And before we begin, I would like to say a few things regarding this wonderful podcast. This is a project that I have been thinking about since 2019, and it's only now that I have managed to get it going. So I do appreciate that you're taking the time to give it a listen. I want to take this opportunity to thank the Creative Caravan that has supported me in the production of this podcast. Also, a very big thanks to each of my guests who allowed themselves to trust me with their stories and helped me in creating a space where people can feel like they can relate to one another, learn from one another, and find a sense of belonging. Enjoy! Welcome to So This Is Love, a podcast about love, the loss of love, heartbreak, and the meeting of self. We share stories on how the relationships we once had teach us about who we are and define who we become. And maybe through these stories, we can answer that age-old question. Is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? So, this is love. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of So This Is Love. As per usual, I start my show by thanking everybody who's been listening to this amazing podcast, giving me feedback, sharing. The numbers are amazing, and also your voice notes of encouragement and upliftment are really supportive for me. Not only am I getting some of you reaching out to me saying that they want to share their stories, I'm also getting these words of encouragement. There's recently a lady from Uganda who sent me a very beautiful voice note. Thank you. I won't say your name, but I really appreciated the voice note that she shared because she said she was going through something that was so similar to one of our guests, and just the fact that they could see that this person has gotten to the other side of it, that there's hope for her. That's why I did this podcast. That's why I created this podcast. I am creating a space where people can share their stories of triumph. Any adversity, it's there to refine or clarify something in your personal life. Today, I am joined by a very special guest. Her name is Amy, not her real name. She's also a special guest because she has graced us with her presence from a very, very, very far away land. And she's going to be telling us a story about a defining relationship in her life that happened in her early 20s when she decided to start a new life in a different country, met a new person. You know, when you're moving to a new country, you're very, very vulnerable. In the sense that you're still trying to find your footing, you're still trying to find your support system. You haven't found your footing. So I usually say, whenever you move into a new country, you have to be very careful about the people who you bring into your personal life at that very vulnerable time in your life, because they can lock you in. If it's the wrong person, they can lock you in. If it's a good person, well, good for you. So I usually say, for me, I'm like, even when I went to school to study, I was like, I need some time to settle down before I attach to somebody else and I still don't know who they are and who I am in this space. So anyways, guys, help me to welcome Amy to the podcast. Karibu Amy, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here. I'm so glad. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be here and share my story, and hopefully that's going to be uplifting to you guys. So yeah.
Yeah.
Sit back, relax, and listen up.
Amy, so you're going to tell us about your relationship with a gentleman that we are naming Greg, also not his real name. And I want you to take us to the beginning. How did you meet?
Okay. So I met Greg 7 years ago. I had just relocated to America. And I went there to go to school. So I had probably been in the country for about 4 months. I had a friend in the state I lived in, and he told me that he was traveling to a different state for a graduation for his brother and another friend. This friend happened to be a girl that I went to high school with in Kenya. So I was like, yeah, I will go. So we ended up taking the trip, and I met this person like right when we went, the house we went to, he was there, and I did not know who he was, obviously, because I had never met this person. So the first instance we got there and there's a lot of men and I don't know who is who. So they just got through the introductions and then I recognized his name from what my friend had told me during the ride. And during the drive, he had hyped him up. Like, he had given me all these amazing things about this person. And I was so excited to be meeting this person because for me, I was like, this is a new life. I am all by myself. And it would be nice to meet somebody new and hopefully connect with this person. So I was very open to the idea. And obviously, I had never been in a relationship where somebody had introduced me to a partner before. I had done all the work myself in the past. But this one, I felt like I needed help and I got help from my friend. So, yeah, that's how we met. So at that point when we met, obviously, we were tired. It had been like a 16-hour drive. So it was just a matter of hi. He was in the kitchen because he was part of the people that were preparing the food we were eating at that point. So after the just casual highs with everybody else, he went back to preparing food and then we got to serving and eating. And then now this is about like maybe 4 o'clock. So dark starts to come and everybody's starting to calm down. Everybody's full, you know, dinner is already done. So we are now just sitting around getting to know each other. And I don't think he even came up to me at that point. Like, we kept talking because I was new to everyone. So I practically had to introduce myself to everyone, tell them why I'm there and who I know. My friend came, my high school friend came, and so we got to talking together for a while. So now it's going into 9 o'clock, that type of thing, and it's time to decide who's going to sleep where because it was a small house and there was like maybe 10, 15 of us. And so we had to decide, like, who's going to sleep in this house and who's going to go somewhere else. Well, we ended up having like maybe 6 people in a room because both male and female. And so at that point, he came up to me. We were actually before that, we kind of stepped outside to walk. There was like maybe 4 of us and then slowly the 2 dropped and it was just the 2 of us.
Yeah.
So we're walking. He takes me to his car, drives me around. Were like showing me around the area because I was so new, like, hey, I want to experience America, so I do not know. So, you know, such like things, like I've been in the dorms for 4 months and right now I'm outside in an actual like neighborhood. And so I wanted to get a feel of the area. And so who else would take me around but him? So he came around, we drove in his car for a little bit. You know, we just had like small talk, which I'm not a big fan of, but we did it anyway. Luckily, it was like a clear day outside. So the moon, the stars, like we could see all of that. So the house had like a garden or a backyard. So we went and sat in the grass for a little bit. There was a little pond like over. It was just pretty.
Oh,
yeah. It was a really pretty setup. Like you would think that it was, you know,
a rom-com.
Yeah. He asked me if I was talking to somebody. I said no, and I was pretty available. What brought you here? You know, such type of things, like how long have you been here? We went over that. And then I just told him, hey, your friend so-and-so introduced me to you, talked to me, said a lot about you, and I'm excited to get to know you. We kind of just had random conversations. We talked about what my major was in college. And at the time, I was going to study something else, and he was trying to convince me to switch over to his major that he was studying. So he was trying to sell that, you know, that course or major. And so, well, we kind of talked about it, and then it was getting late. We went in the house, and so he was still trying to convince me to switch majors to study something else. So I sat on the bed that I was going to sleep on, and then he came closer to me, and he brings his computer, and he's trying to like write a code. And in that code, it was something so sweet and romantic, like pretty much asking me to be his person, you know, that type of thing.
Or like on the first day.
Yeah. Like, no, like, well, not exactly like that, but it was just like, hey, I would like to get to know you and I'd be happy, you know, things like
right,
that.
Right.
So yeah, but that was for me, I was like, it caught my attention because he was writing it in a code, you know, these people who code and things like that. I was like, oh, that's cool. That was it. We didn't really do much. The next day, the graduation happened. And, you know, we're strangers still. So we took pictures here and there together. And then we had to go back. So we did not, the only time we actually had together was that time outside and like by the pond. And then this time in bed with his computer. And then I went back to where I'd come from, my home state.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, he was going for an internship in a different state, which was a different state, way closer to where he was. But he decided to take like a detour to come to my state, which was way out of his way, to see me. And then, and then make his way down. So when he came, we kind of, I think that's just how, like, this was 2 weeks later, we hit it off, and there was no talk of, hey, would you be my girlfriend or whatever. We just like, hey, we connect, this is it. We're like, and we went from there.
Yeah.
So it was just like that. It was very seamless, very easy. But I just remember, like, before we ever proceeded to do anything, I told him, hey, are you here to stay or are you here to play with me? And he just chuckled. Like, he did not have a response at that moment. He smiled for a second, and then he was like, yeah, I'm here to stay. And so I told him, I will hold you to your word. Like, you are going to keep your word, because I'm not taking that lightly. So this is a commitment. And I was very clear about that. And looking back, that was probably the only time in the relationship that I spoke my mind.
Mm.
Looking back, because that was the one time I was like, are you here to stay? Or, I mean, I don't want to do temporary. Like, I want a commitment. I want something that would go into something. So if you're not ready for that, let's not even get it started. Just, you know, walk on away, do your thing, go find somebody else. But right now, this is what I want, because I know myself, I get very attached. And then, you know, so for me, when I meet somebody, it's like, you are my forever. Well, I've learned. So he went to this home state. I finished my exams. He got me, at the time, got me a bus ticket, because, you know, I'm new in America. I'm broke. I don't have all the money to spend on an air ticket or whatever. He was also going to school at the time. So he was interning for a company in this state. And at that time, I didn't have anything to do all summer. So I went down to be with him. We had met in early May. This is the end of June, and I'm realizing that something has happened, and this relationship has like gone faster than I thought it would. So at that point, I realized like I was sick through the trip. Like, I realized like I was not very comfortable during the drive, nausea and things like that. And come to realize I had gotten pregnant at that point. And so I was scared, but then I was happy to be going to see this person, because I'm like, I've only known this person for maybe 7 weeks, and mm-hmm. I am pregnant. I do not have a source of income. I do not even have a house. I do not have anything. I'm new in this country. I'm just a student. So I don't know how I am going to figure things out. On his end, I did not know how he was going to receive it. So I decided I was going to go tell him once I got there. So when I got there, I did not even mention that to him up until like maybe the next day. He was cooking, and I was actually cooking, and I couldn't stand cooking, and I just had to cut it and go. Like, I was sick. I was very nauseated. So I had to leave the kitchen and ask him to come take over. So when he came back, I told him exactly what was happening. Hey, this is what's going on. And yeah, this is where we are. His face changed. Like, what? You know, it's like he freaked out too, because it's like, I've only known you for this so long. But that was not his response. He did not tell me that, oh, I've only known you for this long. But I could tell on his face that he was so scared, so confused, and did not know what to do, because it's like, yeah, I kind of made a commitment, but I don't think I was ready for this just yet.
Yeah.
And so that night, dinner was not dinner. Like, I don't think I ate, because after I saw his response, he kind of just went mute. And so I also just like left and went to go to sleep. He came, joined me later. We did not have a conversation about it. And then Fortunately or unfortunately, his mother called the next day and he was calling to tell him about a friend of his that had had a baby. And it was, oh, it's time for you to have a baby too. Da, 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 da. She does not know what's going on here. So he just kept the conversation going. And then, you know, he was like, I'm happy for that person. But me personally, I'm not ready for that part. And I'm like, you know, at that point, I'm sitting there because he was having the conversation right next to me. We're in bed. And so he's talking to his mom and saying that. And I'm thinking, I have your baby right now. So what are we doing about this? We slept. The next morning, he went to work and he called me from work and said, hey, I am going to send you X amount of money and you are going to go to an abortion clinic. And this is what you're doing. And I said, no. Well, I actually did not give him a response. I just like sat there and waited for him to come back home. So when he came back home, this is now Friday. He comes home with like drinks. Like he could have, I think he came home with like maybe 3 bottles or something. And he started to drink. And his words to me were this: you are going to have an abortion or I am going to commit suicide tonight. My upbringing, I don't think, would allow me to do such a thing. And so at that point, I just went quiet and decided I wasn't going to give him a response. We had a weekend where he just left and did his own thing. I did my own thing. And then that week on Monday, he had still insisted that I had to go make an appointment, which I refused to go. So this kept going. Maybe we were back and forth for about a week, and then eventually I just decided to set up an appointment and go do it, because now it had gotten to a point where, like, he sat me down and told me, like, we're not in a position. I don't think I can let you have this baby because you are not in a position to even support yourself. Mm-hmm. Neither am I. So we are not going to have this baby, and that is final. It's that the baby goes or I go. So at that point, I am very...
Is he also... How old were you at this time?
So at this time, I have just turned 22.
Oh, you were a baby.
Yeah, I was a baby too. With a baby.
Was he also young? A young
so
man?
So he was...
Or a little bit older?
So he's 4 years older than me.
So he that would so make him 26.
That would make him 26, which... And at the time, he was in his third year of school. So he was almost done, pretty much. So,
and he had been living in the U.S.
He had already been there for 3 years already.
Okay.
So, I mean, and he had kind of like figured his internship was paid, things like that. So I thought for a moment, I was like, you know what? I was ready to do whatever it took to keep that baby, because the friend that introduced me to him,
yeah,
his girlfriend was also expecting at the same time. So right. I was like, I have a girl that I could talk to. We could go through the same thing.
Yeah.
And maybe like, we'll figure it out. But then it was threats. And for me at that point, I'm only young and you feel like, oh, this is the only person I know. I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. Oh, he wants me to do this. So yeah, I'm just going to do it. So I ended up taking the, going and having an abortion against my will. And I remember, I think I cried for a full week because, like, especially like during the process itself, he had left me. So when I went to the clinic, he was not even at home. He had gone to a different state for work. And so I am going through this process by myself. That should have been like, for me, in looking back, I should have not done it. Maybe I should have just like decided to go back to the dorms or whatever, just find a place to go. But then I should have decided to find a place to go. But then at that point, I did not have any money on me. Like all I had was enough for me to just, this money that he had given me to go set up the appointment. So I'm responding and reacting out of fear. So eventually I just decided to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it happened. And after that, he came back to normal and we continued the relationship. So I was there till the end of the summer. I took a gap semester that time. So when he went back to school, I went back to the house that we had met, because that was his host family when he was in the U.S. So when he was going to college, rather. So I went there and we stayed there for the whole fall semester, which would be August to December. So now it was time for me to go back to school. He took me back to school. I'll take this opportunity to say life in a different country is so difficult. And if you remember what Julia mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, like, take time to assess yourself and know yourself before. You're very vulnerable when you're in a different country, when you're away from family. Me, I had nobody in the US. I just had myself. So finding somebody that was willing to take me and, you know, like, offer me love, I feel like it, at that point, I saw that that meant everything to me. Mm-hmm. And then December came up, time for the holidays. After the holidays, because the spring semester starts in January, I had already figured out my school situation and I wanted to go back. He offered to take me back to school. He did all my shopping, got my accommodation sorted out, because at this point I decided to stay out of campus. I was living in an apartment. He took care of all of that. 3 days into the semester, he texts me and says, I am taking a break from the relationship. My question was, why? And why? And his response was like, I just need to do it right now, because this is what's best for us. He gave me no other explanation. I tried to inquire if I had done anything wrong at that point. In my assessment, I hadn't. But he did not have any other response. So at this point, this is now maybe January of the following year. And I'm going to school. I am stressed because he's broken up without an explanation, and he has decided to just vanish. We were not talking, you know, he just vanished away from my life for just instantaneously. And for me, that was very, very, very depressing. I asked, how long do we want to take this break for? What are we taking it for? There was no answer to that. And so for me, I wanted him to give me a time as to how long we're taking a break for, because that just helps give you a sense of, you know, the future. Like, what are we doing? Should I move on? Should I stagnate? Should I wait for you? You know, that type of thing. I came to find out from his friend that he had taken that step because he had no reason. He just wanted to test me to see if I was, like, if, say, he died or if he were to go to a different country or whatever.
Huh?
Would I stick with him?
But why were you up for a test?
So now at that point, I mean, like, I don't understand. Well, like, why do you have to put me through a test? And yeah, that was very confusing to me too. I understand, like, trying to take a break for maybe a month or 2 months, because maybe I am going through something that is so depressing. I am not able to offer you love within this time. I could try, but I'm not going to be a nice person. So let us take a break for 1 month or 2 months. I wanted that definition of time to know exactly that, yes, we are at a pause, but we're coming back. But at that point, it was like, he just wanted me to sit there and wait for him. I don't know how long I'm waiting for you. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And I was, at that point, I just decided, I'm going to do what feels good to me right now. I feel like I am down. I feel confused, and I am going to seek what I feel would make me happy at this point. And so that's what I did. I got in a fling, I would call it. It was not really a relationship. It was just like something I used to get over what I was going through. So while I'm doing this, he shows up one time at my apartment, because obviously he knew where I lived. And then we are sitting and having a conversation. He's trying to explain to me, oh, I'm sorry. I just needed time to figure out exactly what I want in life and to see if you are the right person for me. A friend had told him that I had been talking to somebody else, and he came to investigate that. And I told him, yeah, at this point, I'm like, I don't owe you the truth about anything. I'm just going to tell you what I feel like. It was going to make me happy. If you want to come back, you can come back. If you want to go, you can go. But really, I wanted him to come back, because for me, he was my safe place. He is the only person that I actually know. But really, do I know him? Because, like, already there's already a lot of red flags that I shouldn't be with this person. Like, first with what happened with the pregnancy, and now him just taking a break out of nowhere. I should have known, you know. But then I am young, I am still afraid, and I feel like he's the only person I know, so I'm just gonna stick with him. So when he came back, he kind of reconciled, and then he, you know, we picked it up from there. This is maybe a month leading up to his graduation. So he had come back. I came to realize that maybe he had come back because his mom was coming over for his graduation and he needed a female figure to have, like, for the mom, because of those conversations she had been having about kids and whatever before. So I feel like that's the only reason I went back. But hey, it worked out for me because that's what I wanted. I wanted to be with someone. I actually wanted to be with someone that I thought was in it for the long haul. My driving force is he has said he's going to be here to stay. I am not looking at what's happening. He's telling me to do this. He's telling me to do that against my will. For me, I'm in love and I don't care. If it means like I'm going to lose myself trying to be in love, I was willing to do it. That's how that first year of that relationship turned out. So I mentioned that his mother came over for his graduation soon after we had reconciled. So she did come. And I remember we did trips from one end of the country to another driving. And so this was a lot of time to connect with her and get to know her. So after they had left, maybe they were still even in the country. Well, I say they because it was his mom and aunt. So he comes to me one day and says, "Hey, you know what? My mom was really surprised to see you." I'm like, "Oh, yeah? Why?" He goes, "He wasn't expecting me to be dating you. He expected like somebody so light-skinned, you know, things like that." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." You know, of course, it did hurt me a little bit and it did like influence or change how I related with her from that point going forward because, you know, I don't know if it was an innocent statement or if it was just a statement of spite or if it was like, you know, I don't know. I did not want to read into it at that point. I just wanted to focus on the point, the fact that, well, I'm in love or that's what I think and that's what I'm going to build up on. Like, that's what I'm going to focus on. If she feels what she feels, I'm not in a relationship with her. I am in a relationship with him. But then at that point, I also questioned myself and I said, if he really did care about me, you don't have to say everything. You don't have to, you know, there are things that are said to you that you don't have to pass forward. Like you don't have to say to the next person, especially if you know it's somebody you care about and that which you're saying is going to hurt them, then you don't have to say it.
Yeah.
I did not even want to ask it because I was afraid to hear the response. So I just kind of let it slide and, you know, kind of forgot about it. His mom left. I went back to work. Of school, rather. At this point, I think I had started work, so I was working and going to school at the same time when school. And our relationship continued, and we did continue long distance. Up until, so he's now graduated. He has no job. And he's trying to, you know, he just decided to find something to do just to bring him some little money while he tried to figure his life out. I mean, I don't know if most people are not familiar with how life works out for students in the United States, but then there's so many visa restrictions and it puts you in a situation where you either decide to come back home or you go back to school. So you're either like back to school, have an internship that is like visa approved, or you're back to your home country. So at that point, he was at a very difficult transitional period because he had signed a contract with one of the government agencies in the United States. There was a program that was going to help them or help international students to become citizens, and he had signed up for that. But then during the presidential transition, that program had been halted by the new president, and so it put him in a situation where it was a very sensitive time for him because now he is the one on the other end. Like, I'm doing a little better because I'm going to school and I have a job. It's not so much money, but at least like I have something to my name, you know, and he has nothing. And so that kind of like challenged us a little bit. I remember for 6 months, he was very irritable, and we kept the relationship long distance, even despite the fact that he had graduated and he had the option to come live with me at that time. But I think it was just better for him. He had signed up for work some temporary work in the state he was in, and so he decided to continue doing that because then moving to a different state, he did not know state laws are very different, so he didn't know how it would happen. So we kept the relationship at a long distance as it had been up until December of that year. He went through the program that I had mentioned earlier. So he went through that program, and after that, he came back a very different person. Well, maybe I should just mention that he went through the training to be a soldier in the United States, to be a soldier. So when he came out of that, I don't know what army training does to somebody, but he came back very different. There was now a man who is cussing out at me, calling me names, or he would have conversation where he could not have a bad word in it. And for me, I am very sensitive to cuss words. At least at that point, I had been, well, my upbringing, I hadn't been exposed to such. So for him to actually bring it to me, like, it's, you're talking to me and you're cussing me, or you're cussing out, you might not have been necessarily cussing out at me, but for me, I was very irritated by that. And then slowly it started to become like his way of conversing with me. So if I did something, he would cuss out something that he did not like. That is how he would react or respond. I would verbalize the fact that I did not like that, but it did not matter. It's like, oh, you don't know what I've been through. I've been through so much. So I need you to be very understanding of the fact that I have been through something. And it was very hard for him to go back to how it had been before. And so for me, it started to be a really painful experience going forward, because now I feel like I cannot kick you out, but because I feel like I owe you this because you've been there for me in the past. And yeah, you are my boyfriend at this point. I want to be there for you, but you're making it so hard. So I ended up like shutting down. I think that was the point where I decided, like, I am just going to be mute. I will not say a word. I will not show emotion. And you can go through what you're going through. I will just listen and just keep a straight face. Because I did not know. At this point, it feels like everything I say is wrong. Like, I'm damned if I speak. I'm damned if I don't speak. At this point, I can mention that he is Kenyan too. So most of our culture, most of our people, most of our men, like, culture has taught them to be providers, and when they're not in a position to provide, I feel like that really eats into them and their ego. And so I think most of it was a response, like, from that angle, because I am providing, I am doing everything, because I'm the one with a job and everything. So it was very uncomfortable for him to be on the receiving end. And I tried to understand that as much as I could. But I also felt like I needed to be understood, because I needed peace to be able to do the things that I do without, you know. Because when I'm upset, I don't go. Maybe I would choose not to go. I would just, like, cancel work. And now it's affecting our finances. It's affecting how we live here. What if, you know, there were so many what ifs. And I just needed peace. Peace.
Okay. So yeah. At this point, you were living together.
Yeah,
he moved to your state.
Yeah, he
after had his stint with the army.
Yeah, after he was done. Sorry, he had decided, because he could not go anywhere else, and I was stable-ish at that point. So he decided to come. I mean, it was the only logical thing to do was for him to come over and stay with me, because he couldn't work, he couldn't do anything else. So he was just there, and for him to actually be doing nothing at somebody else's house would be so difficult for him. So it was easier for him to come stay with me. So we did that. So at that point, luckily things started to work out. After a few months, he got his immigration sorted out, and he was able to go back to work. So he got his job. He got a job in a different state again. So he moved. So this is a year three, and I am also, I'm almost done with school. So he went to work at that state, but before he left, we had a really huge fight. And I remember Christmas was coming up, so he left. It was a very bad fight. I think he even involved the cops, I want to say, because I was so frustrated. I was acting out and he had to call the cops on me. They stood there while he packed and left. And so I was really frustrated. Of course, I think I want, I would say that I had what would have been, now I understand, as separation anxiety, just because of the things that I had been through. Like, I wanted to be loved and loved closely. And so the threat that, any threat to leave really did not go well, because every time I would respond very badly to any attempt for him to leave. Like, if he threatened, and he even made it a habit to threaten to leave me if we had a small fight and things like that. So it became a habit for me. I think he picked up on that and decided to exploit that area of the relationship, knowing that this is my weakness, and he was going to dwell on it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so our relationship continues. I graduate. I move to be with him at this point. As a graduate, now I'm now back to being jobless. Now he has a job and I do not. So it's a back and forth, back and forth. So after I graduated, we decided to take a visit to visit our family in Kenya for a few weeks. After Christmas, we go back to the U.S. No, during this time, actually, unfortunately, I lose my grandfather, and he was in an accident a week before we had to go back to the U.S. And being hospitalized for that time, I did not know what was going to happen to him. Unfortunately, he passed away the morning of our return, and so I couldn't do much. I just had to go back, and so I go back to the U.S. And at this point, given the relationship between me and my grandfather, I feel like I needed time to grieve, and I asked to get some of that time so that I could just process my emotions, feel better before I went back into job hunting or getting the work or employment situated, which is not something that I was offered. In return, I was, say, deported to a different environment. So he sent me away from him to be with his host family that I mentioned earlier. And during this time now, his mother is involved. She is talking about how we should take the relationship going forward from
there. So you were living together?
Yes, we are already living together.
But then because you wanted to take a moment to breathe and grieve your grandfather. So at this point, you wanted support from him, I would say. And yes, he want to offer you that.
Yes.
And so because of that, he's like, oh, I'm taking you back to the host family.
Yeah, to go deal with your emotions there, because like, he could not stand me being in that situation. All right. He wanted was for me to be up on my feet, working and bringing money. And for me, I felt like at that point, I was not in the correct headspace to be able to perform in that manner. So I just needed time, and I did not get it. Anyway, I end up going to his host family. So I was there for about a month. During this time, his mother is talking to the lady that I lived with. She's not even talking directly to me. So she was talking to her so she could tell me things. And so her opinion was that she was pretty much directing like the trajectory of the relationship from there. She was guiding it like, this is what I want you to do. And this is how it's going to happen. So for her, she wanted us to go live separately. And for me, to think things through, and for him to do it independently too while we live together. And for me, that was not okay. Anyway, I ended up taking my test for my licensing exam. I got employment situated. I go back to him. Life is good because I'm working. And then going forward from there, it's every conflict is now a constant reminder of, oh, you're not going to school. Because, I should mention that I had, during this time, I am taking a gap year from school because I want to focus on certain things in my life. And so I took this. This is the time I'm taking the gap year and working.
Are you living together now?
Yeah, we're living
together. So you have left the house family and now you're living together, but you're not in school.
Yeah, I'm not in school.
But you're working.
But yeah, I did not leave the host family's house until I had employment situated. So by the time I'm coming back, I have a job waiting for me. I have interviewed virtually and I have a job waiting. So upon my return to his house, which is our house now because we're living together at this point, I go back to work and I also make it clear that I will not be going to school this year as earlier decided because I have a lot of things that have come up in my life. One of those is my grandfather passing away. And I just had a lot of things, honestly, in my life that I needed to figure out. And I decided that this is a year that I'm going to take time to focus on that. And after all, it's COVID anyway. So I take that time. I told him that he was not agreeable to that. And so now this becomes an area of, you know, a constant reminder. Every mistake, every conflict we have is a reminder of how I am not living up to his expectations, because for him, he wants me to go and be a certain someone. He is very concerned about status. Like, I want my wife to be introduced as doctor, so-and-so, you know, such type of thing. Like, he wants status. That's all what he's all about. And at that point, for me, that was not a priority. And I insisted and maintained my word that I wasn't going to go back to school, which I didn't. And just to say, I haven't up until this point because, you know, my aspirations are mine and I take them how I want. I take it how I want it. So we're living together. We're just having this microaggressions of like, oh, just being reminded of the things I haven't done that we had talked about and just not being understanding of the fact that life happens. Things change. You can change your mind. You can adjust your dreams. You can delay your dreams and accommodate certain things right now. But it doesn't mean that you have deleted or decided that this is it. I'm not going to do it anymore. But anyway, that year, we were okay-ish, you know, just going through the same things over and over again. We proceeded to the next year where kind of the same thing continued. At this point now, I'm concerned about where we're going in this relationship. I'm looking into, like, should we be talking about getting married and things like that? You know, it's been 5-6 years. It's been a long time. I want to have certain, you know, I want to know where we're going at this point. Like, do we want to make it official and kind of, you know, move on from there. But then for him, that is not even a concern. And what upsets me the most is that I think one time we had a disagreement. And of course, his mom had already been plugged into our lives. So he would tell her everything. And I remember one time I was sleeping. I think, yeah, that point we had decided to have a conversation about buying a house. And I told him because the same reason why I'm not going to school is the same reason why I don't want us to buy a house right now. I have commitments elsewhere, and I have talked to you about this, and I want to address those first. It's going to put me in so much financial distress if we decide to buy a house right now. So would you please allow me time to sort that out so that we can, you know, take it one step at a time so that I am not too stressed? He was, like, very condescending about it. He was like, I don't know what is wrong with you. It is a very stupid move. Like, people want to live in their own houses. You're here. You want to stay in an apartment. How long do you want to be in an apartment? What are your goals anyway? You know, such type of things. After being nagged and nagged for so long, it was again, like, me selling my soul out to the devil, I feel like, because I decided, you know what? You want a house. I'm going to give you a house if it's going to make you happy. So at this point, I give in because his mom has already been, you know, nagging me about the same thing. Why don't you want to do this? Why don't you want to do it? And for me, I decided if this is what you all want so that you can have peace, I will do it. I came to learn that a no was not something he was willing to take, and especially from me. So I had to always say yes. Well, what's funny is one of the times when I was talking to his mom, she's telling me, oh, I don't know, you have become a very angry person. You are doing things that he doesn't like and he's not sure. He even wanted us to go to your family to show up like next month. And I'm like, why is this new information to me? that conversation, should it be happening between you and him or between me and him first? And so I expressed that to her. And then he started to question, he started to express a lot of things that she had reservations about. And one of those was my mother's marital status, because she is single. And so she comes up with the idea that right now we don't even know how to proceed with this thing because you are a child of a single mother. And I should say here that she is also single. So there was no reason why she would say, oh, there's no, you know, I can't get married to so and so.
I think it's the culture thing, because obviously, maybe for those listening who don't understand some African cultures, what happens is that in the situation of Amy and Greg, once Amy gets married to Greg, then she's part of Greg's family. She's no longer part of her mom's family. So your mom ideally would be, quote unquote, alone, because you were her only child. I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yes.
I am.
Only child and a single parent. So then Greg's mother's concern was who's going to look after your mom when she comes to the age where the children start to look after the parents. But I would have hoped she has a little bit more sympathy, because she's from a single parent home. It just so happens that she has a boy.
Yeah, and a daughter. Rather than,
exactly. Yeah. So what happens when it comes to the decision about the house?
So we went back and forth with his mom, and we ended up like deciding, I told her that I really wanted to take it up with him. So any decision we were going to make, we were going to make together. And we sat down and agreed that we were going to buy a house. Even though I wasn't ready for it, we decided to make this investment because I felt like it was going to help our relationship. Like, I mean, a house is a huge investment. So you would think that once you make such a commitment with somebody, maybe it does mean something. And it does mean that there is a future after all, you know, because I mean, what else? What next? You have a man, you have a house. The next thing is what? Get married and start popping babies is what you would think. Yeah, we did end up buying the house and it was good. I was happy with that decision in the end, because I loved the house, honestly. But that I was happy living in it? No, because now this is the point where certain things begin to reveal itself. So at this point, I am still employed, but I've transitioned to a type of employment where it puts me at home 1 week and I'm away from home for another, so I'm home every other week. So that is a lot of time to be away from a partner, I guess. And so, it was unknown to me that at this point he has already been in a relationship since December of the previous year. So we are buying a house, but I came to learn that he was already in a relationship and they were planning trips outside of the country, outside of the country. They wanted to meet somewhere. And I'm here. I'm still living with him. We've bought a house. And so now for me, I am so stressed at this point. Upon finding out, which I found out 3 months after we bought the house. So as soon as I found out, it was during one of those times I am back home for a week and he was away. He had to be away for work for 2 weeks. So during one of these weeks that I'm home, I am by myself. And because I had sensed that there had been a different energy every time I was home, I just went into digging mode. Like, I really wanted to find a reason. Like, I knew that I was not a bad person. Like, really, how bad could I be that every time I come home, somebody is so different? He does not want to talk to me. We're already fighting by the time he picks me up from the airport, before we even take a 30-minute drive to the house. And so we would end up not talking for a week for the whole time I was home. And for me, that meant like I had to figure out what was wrong. So I went to his computer, which I don't know if I should have or not, but I went looking. I looked everywhere and couldn't find something. Eventually, I just found out this. It was like a messaging app that I was not even familiar with. And I found a name that I had seen in an email with an air ticket to a country in Africa. And so I kept So that's when everything added up. It's like, I have seen this name somewhere with an air ticket, and he has an air ticket to his name. For me, I was thinking maybe it's for work. But then when I went to the messages and found that, I realized that this is actually a couple. They have been dating. Mm-hmm. And so it leaves me wondering, what am I? You know? And so I remember just breaking down at that point, very stressed out. I gave a notice from work. And decided to come home to Kenya for a month unannounced, and I was not in a good space again. And at this point, I did not even do my therapy sessions that month. When I found out that that had happened, I just felt so disappointed, because I'm like, oh my God, I wish you had told me this before we bought the house. I would feel less. Finding out that he had actually had somebody for an entire, maybe for 4 or 5 months at this point, when we were buying a house, I felt like that was the biggest betrayal. Like, I did not know how I would recover from that. Anyway, I came to Kenya. I took a month off. But then during that time, I had to have a conversation with my mother towards the end of that trip and tell her exactly what was going on, because during the entire 6 years of the relationship, I don't think I ever opened up to my mother about what was going on with my life, because part of the reason is that she had also, it felt to me like her story, my story would be me reliving her own story. So I did not really, you know, all parents want their children to turn out better than them. Yeah. So when you're telling them that you are actually suffering as much as they did, it's just going to be a stressor to them. So I did not want that from her, because she's hypertensive. So I decided not to do that. But then this time I found out that this guy has moved on. So I just need to...
Finally in the relationship.
Yeah.
Found a whole new relationship.
Yeah. So for me, so now I guess at this point we can say this is when I decided, you know, this is the end. And so now I have to begin... I have to begin the journey of like learning to be away from him and start a life of my own. You know, for me, at this point, I'm no longer in love. I'm in momentum, because I'm like, I want to leave, but then I'm like, oh my goodness, but I've been with this person for so long. I don't think I want to go and start over. But then at this point, finding that out, it really made me change my mind. I decided, you know what? It is going to hurt. It is going to be painful, but it's only going to be painful and heavy if I allow it. So I am going to allow myself time to grieve and to accept the loss of relationship, because at this point I don't think I want to get into the process of trying to fight with the other lady, trying to figure out when did this relationship start. I have already seen everything. To be honest, I haven't seen him or talked to him since that time, since I saw that. I cried one tear and decided, you know, this one drop of tears, it's enough. I am going to leave. I packed everything of mine and I left, and I haven't gone back. I have worked on myself, and it was hard at first, I want to say, because like it was for the first 2 weeks, I felt like I wanted revenge so bad and I wanted to bring him down. But then coming to Kenya to my mother really helped me, because like I was around the one person I knew for sure like loved me. And so that really helped me. And also getting to talk to her and open up to her about what I was going through and getting her opinion helped me understand that it's okay to abandon something if it's not working. Like if it doesn't, love doesn't have to feel like work. You know, when you love someone, it's not that you don't have to persevere through it. Like contrary to belief that, you know, you love someone, you're going to stay through thick and thin. No. If it's not working out, it's okay to walk away. It's okay to go find happiness on your own. I want to say that one of the biggest lessons for me throughout the entire experience has been about love. And now this is not love for another person, but love for myself. Self-love, self-awareness, and knowing, getting to understand me has really helped me, because right now I am not the person I was like last year or the year before that. My opinion or my perspective on love is very different. And I made it my number one goal to work on myself through intense therapy. Just I listen to podcasts, read books about, you know, I've read Attachment, a book that Jules really recommends. So those are some of the things. Like, I really wanted to know how to love and what was it about me that was, you know, what was I doing wrong? Because it felt like I was the problem in the relationship. So my biggest takeaway has been that people can only love to their level of self-love. Like, so if somebody has no love for themselves, then it's going to be hard for them to love somebody else.
What does self-love look like in your life?
For me, self-love means I transitioned. So I became a whole different new person after the relationship. So, and I would define self-love for me as doing things that Amy wants to do without anybody else saying no. So for me, I'm so used to saying something and somebody tells me no or that is not correct. So for me right now, if I want to go on a walk, I will do it. I do journal a lot these days. I do have, I realize that my entire closet changed. It means that I will eat what I want to eat, because one of the things that we disagreed on in the relationship was saying no to food that I did not like. So I had to eat it if it was offered to me. If I do not feel like I want milk, I'm not taking milk. And that is an act of love to myself. So that is it. And the boundaries has been a big thing, even as far as like the communication that I choose to have or not have with him. That has also been something that I have had to learn. And so I have chosen silence over everything. So we don't really talk. I understand myself. I understand my weaknesses. And I understand that I did not offer myself love when I was with you, but right now I'm going to choose this for myself. You need to love yourself enough to set boundaries, because people will you teach people how to treat you by what you are willing to accept or not accept. Stop chasing what's not chasing you. If it's not chasing you, do not go after it. During my healing journey, it was easier for me to go through it once I realized that it is the memories of a relationship that keep you in pain. Because you think about, oh, we had such a good time together. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to let go of that. But then, you know what you need to do? What I've learned is make new memories, create new memories. So get out of your comfort zone. If you're not like somebody who likes to do makeup, go to a makeup, go get your makeup done, go to the beach, do something, make new memories. That way you're replacing this painful memories or maybe even sweet memories of your past. It is work. It's not easy. And I will not sit here and romanticize the fact that, oh, healing from a relationship is easy, but do the work on yourself. So yeah, that is really my parting shot, is that take a look at yourself, check yourself, know when you are starting to lose yourself in a relationship, catch yourself doing it and reroute. It's okay. Mm. Pause, turn around and go.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for sharing your story. I do appreciate you coming on here, and have a safe flight back to the Americas.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Bye.
If you have liked this episode, please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review. You can also share this podcast with a friend or two and follow us on our Instagram at @SoThisIsLove_podcast. If you would like to be a part of this podcast, you can also reach us via direct message on our Instagram. This is Jules. See you next time.